Good evening.
Good evening, and this is Left, Right and Centre. I'm going to talk quickly. I'm Casey, the host with the most. These...
What? Why do you get to say that?
No, it's true. We can't deny it.
Casey is also the host who can boast, we can see.
I boast the most, and I am the host.
Yes.
These guys are Tim, Mateo, and Chris.
Look, Tim, if you object, we'll give you the chance to roast.
The show can only go up from here. This is left, right, and centre. I'm Timothy. We've got Casey, who you've just heard. Chris is being annoying over there. Why don't you tell ladies and gents out there show them what your voice sounds like there, Chris?
Hi.
Oh, Chris will be doing tonight's show in falsetto. And Mateo.
Yeah, hi. I was absent from last week's festivities. I was laid up at home. Feeling sick and sorry for myself, and instead I'm
peak flu. I understand.
I'd like to point out, though, that this is we had a run going where only three of the four members would attend each week,
and I was always there.
Casey was always no, you weren't.
Apart from the times you
apart
weren't.
Apart from the one time I wasn't.
Yeah, and just like the one time you weren't.
Anyway,
I wasn't.
We snapped the trend. That's the point.
Instead, I'm here tonight feeling sorry for myself.
So we're all back. There's
we're all here to feel sorry for ourselves. What have we got? Yeah.
I'm not feeling sorry for myself.
Good.
You know why?
I'm happy.
You know
for
why
it.
I'm not feeling sorry for myself?
Because
we've got such excellent discussion topics tonight.
Tim, that's
that
a great
good.
Segue.
That
and might
good.
I say, you so Obama, Tim.
Oh. You so Obama.
Okay, I'm just going to let that hang because Chris is
that deserves to just hang.
Anyway, we're going to talk about
No. We should explain for everyone out there. Casey, don't you think we should explain it?
I absolutely think that we should explain it. That would be so Obama.
It will be Obama. Obama, basically, the phrase "you so Obama" essentially means "you so cool." You know, like so. It's a synonym for cool, and it's an official word now. It's been declared so by Stanford University.
But we believe it's Stanford University. We're working from memory here. The linguistics class in Stanford University, the seniors class, as part of a project every year, compile a slang dictionary. And apparently the word Obama is now an adjective. I'm very, very unhappy.
Surely you would object to the compilation of a slang dictionary.
Especially by people in the United States.
Yes.
The Oxford University Press.
Obama was a word before they added it to a slang dictionary.
It's not an adjective, though.
How many occurrences does something have to get before it gets added to the OED?
10,000, according to the million word people.
No, that's not the OED, Casey. Anyway.
10,000 references in popular social networks. That's all you need to be a word.
If you guys might recall, about like 3 minutes ago, I said we were just about to talk about the topics we're going to talk about.
Yeah, but now we're out of time to do that.
Yeah, well, so, you know.
I'm not sure if that's true.
Just briefly, we'll let you know what's happening. We're going to talk about file sharing and sharing music and all that jazz.
And we're also going to burn some flags live on air.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about flag desecration. Anyway,
On air, live on air.
I think in order to shut Chris up, we need to go to a song.
Yes, we should. It's song time.
Yep.
It's 10:10 on Radio Adelaide. You're listening to Left, Right and Centre, and you can get in contact with us by writing to us on Facebook. There's a Facebook group, Left, Right, and Centre. I can't remember if we used an Oxford comma or not.
We didn't use an Oxford comma. I was very angry about that.
Damn, I really wish we had. I wonder if we can change the group name. You can also email us, leftrightandcentre@live.com.au. We've been a bit neglectful of it, but I am checking it now.
Of course you're crazy.
Also, game show's coming up later.
Yep.
I want you guys to start thinking, because I'm going to ask you a question in game show for next week's game show. You guys need to pick a special topic for me. So I'm going to give you the rest of the show to think about it, because I'm going to ask you at the end of the show
for a
special topic that you know a lot about, so that we can quiz you on next week.
I'm sure Tim will find something
to complain
about.
I don't know a lot about anything.
Well, that's a problem.
True. Yeah.
Well, you might not do very well.
You probably won't win then.
All right.
Hey, yeah, file sharing. This has been in the news recently. Lately, the Recording Industry and Artist Association, I think, of America.
RIAA.
Yeah, we'll call them that. They've been just suing people, essentially, for not only...
people all over the place.
Quite literally, left, right, and centre.
Yeah. All over the place, not just for downloading these files from as torrents on LimeWire and the like, but actually distributing them online, which is a big problem. They recently got $675,000 from a fellow called Joel Tenenbaum.
They didn't actually get the money.
He has in fact declared bankruptcy because he can't pay it because it cost him that much for 30 songs.
Basically, they'll appeal, and if it doesn't get passed, he will have to declare bankruptcy.
So
30 songs he was alleged to have, well, he was convicted of
pirating.
$675,000 was the damages. That's $22,500 per song.
Something like that. And
which is quite a bit more than you'd expect to pay in the record store.
Especially given some of the songs.
I haven't actually seen the list, but what were they?
There was a lot of Green Day and Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park and some Goo Goo Dolls on there. So
the Goo Goo Dolls are pretty good.
We were kind of wondering before we went to air whether, in fact, he kind of deserved it. Anyway, but...
this is such bad music.
But the corporate side have obviously had their say. And actually, a couple of bands recently, they've been having their say through a bit of symbolism. There's a band that I quite enjoy listening to. They're called the Fiery Furnaces. And what they've actually done, their statement against music piracy is to release an album of silence, which they're going to do.
Now, is it an album of recorded silence, or is it just a blank CD?
No, it's an album of recorded silence, I think you'll find. It'll actually come with sheet music.
People have done this before. John
Cage has done it for 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
That was art, though.
But it wasn't music.
Hold on. You can't say that's not music and this is.
I don't run into any inconsistencies because I don't think either of them are music. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, one of them fulfilled a more artistic purpose, I think, and I wonder if intent is important. But anyway,
we digress.
The Fiery Furnaces, though, they're releasing with the CD sheet music to the music that would be on the CD normally.
Yeah.
So sheet music, pictures, illustrations of
hypothetical performances
that haven't actually happened and might not happen.
They won't happen of that album. They have actually released a proper new album recently, but anyway, we digress.
They were suggesting that fans take the sheet music and put on their performances as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
For each other. I don't know. Mm.
Anyway, yeah, and
is it just me, or is this a really dick move?
Well, it's perhaps you'd say it's not the only dick move, because other bands have been doing this. One of Jack White's pet projects, the Rackon tours, or the Saboteurs in this country, they only announced the release of their second album 2 days before it was actually released. No one knew about it otherwise. Radiohead, for their last album, In Rainbows, they actually offered a pay-what-you-want deal, which was actually a little bit interesting, because for people who bought it in stores, they were offered, I think, a bonus CD with lyrics.
Those guys also only announced the album 10 days before it was released, and so, then what it was they offered the download, which you could pay what you like, or the... they called it a disc box, which you got the vinyl and some artwork with, which you paid £80 or something
for. And also it was in much higher bitrate and all that. But anyway, I think my point is that, or our point is that these symbolic measures, they're very, very difficult to actually replicate on a mass scale. Records pass through so many hands now, and the recording process is such that there are so many middlemen involved that leaks are almost guaranteed. All it takes is somewhere along the line, one fan who wants to upload it to a file-sharing website, and that's it. It's leaked. And... at least to some extent, recording artists are deprived of the living which people might say that they are deserving of.
Then why aren't we suing? Why are we suing the people that are downloading it and not the people that are uploading people that leak the albums? Why aren't the RIAA suing those people in the supply chain that are leaking them?
In this situation, they've sued somebody to try and demonstrate. You know, they're making an example of somebody, and obviously
is that fair on that? This kid?
Well, the justice is obviously disproportionate in this case, but there's a serious problem for the industry, and there are massive holes in the revenue. And interesting, you know, it's interesting because we seem to see a conflict here between the industry trying to hold on to, in many ways, hold on to the old monopoly they had, and the old way of doing things, which was with CDs and you know, hard copies, where they would have a lot more control over the media. Of course, the internet has thrown that out the door, and I think it's interesting, and it's good to see bands like, Radiohead, I think, did quite well with In Rainbows. I think that's quite a decent idea.
But then they're trying to work with it. They were only successful in that because they're an already very successful band.
I think is particularly anomalous and bizarre about this situation is the uprising of this sort of internet movement whereby piracy is no longer acknowledged as being something that's bad, but we sort of do it anyway, and as almost a good. I mean, we covered earlier in the year the story of the Pirate Party, who have now got seats in the European Parliament, who's essentially...
Was it a seat?
A seat in the European Parliament, whose policy platform is essentially based on legalising what is now called piracy.
Look, I don't disagree with that, Tim, necessarily, but I don't think it's as simple as saying, you know, it's depriving the Recording Industry Association of America, which is what I think it actually is, the RIAA. I don't think it's as simple as just to say it's depriving them of massive revenue, or at least it's
the companies they represent.
It may not be depriving the artists to the same extent, because I think there are figures out recently that suggested that attendance at live concerts has actually gone up by quite some by quite some margin, and that's one of the main...
That's where the bands are making a lot of their money.
That's where most bands make most of their money.
But has it increased by as much as illegal downloads have increased in the intervening time?
Well, it's very difficult to actually judge that.
I don't know whether that's entirely the point. I think the point here is that people are getting access to other people's intellectual property without giving them without the person whose property it is having to significant power.
Yes, I agree.
But Tim, is this any different? No, I mean, I don't disagree. The listeners probably don't care, but I'm quite a passionate amateur photographer, and I wouldn't like the idea of people just randomly distributing my prints. Not that they'd want to, because they're not that good. But the point is, the question I'd ask is this much different from what was happening, say, in the 90s, where you'd make a mixtape and spread? The scale is different, because it's so much easier to do.
Well, that's what makes the difference.
People have been doing this for decades.
Bands aren't making a living from their records anymore. Yeah, the only way they're even breaking even... If the bands haven't broken already, I was speaking to someone earlier today who said that there's a popular sort of blog band, they're an American rock band, they're called the Japandroids, who said that it's not even worth their album being released in this country because it won't sell more than a couple of hundred copies. And it's not even worth it now.
But it's worth it for the record company. And the thing is, the band is not breaking even. The record company's making a loss because all the band's doing is paying back a debt. Which, if they can never do, and they make money from the...
But essentially, recording artists have become victims of their own profession because of the nature of their music. Because it's easily reproducible. Sorry, Chris, can I just finish this thought? Sorry.
Ooh.
It means that their music is very, very easily, you know, distributed illegally. And it means that they can't make a living because of it.
Can I ask something? That's all very well and good. And again, I don't disagree in principle, but when you're discussing something like this, can I ask how much music does everyone here buy? I won't ask if anyone downloads anything because that's not something we want to get into, but how much music do any of you buy? That's
we
the question. Because if you no, this is not an incriminating thing. This is just a matter of how much music does everyone here buy, because you talk about supporting the music industry and that's a noble sort of principle, but if you're not actually buying the music, then it's a relatively mute discussion, if you ask me.
Yeah. Oh, no, we don't really have time for each of us to go into depth, but I think the point...
I bought a CD the other day.
Yeah, but the point I would make is, and this is rather a semantic one, but it goes back to something I said earlier, is that it's all right for people saying, you know, I do download music, but what I see as particularly sinister is this idea that we do it and now it's right as well. That it's become sufficiently inconvenient for us to have a moral objection
I think there can be little doubt that it isn't morally acceptable, right?
Well, but there are a lot of people who don't believe
that. No, sure, but
it's,
I think
in increasing numbers.
I think
as well.
For me, it's possible to do something that's not morally correct. And know that, but do it anyway. And I think, obviously, this is quite a fraught discussion, and we haven't really...
We've got nowhere.
We say this every week. Mm. We've talked about something a little, and no conclusions have been reached, or few conclusions have been reached.
Just seems this generation's gotten to a stage where it believes it has a right to music for free, and we're not sure that's correct.
Go to
I'm
going to
hit this button.
Now return to David Attenborough's Savannah with Paul Schaefer.
Graceful, elegant... The gazelle graze in groups of up to about 50.
That's a gazelle, all right, yeah.
One of the more commonly known species, the Thompson's gazelle has a distinguishing black stripe down its side.
Oh, a stripe. It's got a stripe down its side, eh?
The Thompson's gazelle have an average life expectancy of 10 to 15 years.
Oh, that's an average life expectancy of 10 to 15 years, eh? Yeah, interesting. It's a long time for a gazelle.
Suddenly, a cheetah springs forth from the bushes.
Yeah, I'll do that. Cheetahs.
As they notice the predator, the gazelles display classic stotting behavior, running slowly and jumping high in the air before fleeing.
Yeah, that's jumping high. I used to jump high in the air. Yeah.
Although the cheetah can reach top speeds far in excess of the gazelle can outlast the cheetah in a prolonged chase. And more importantly, the gazelle can turn faster. Victory for the cheetah is not assured.
Yeah. Got the organ there? Yeah.
All right, guys, are you ready for this?
Oh, maybe. It's been a while. I wasn't here last week. Just being honest.
Oh, God.
He's back. He's back for 15 seconds, and he ruins Rapid Fire News.
Honestly. Honestly, you shithead.
Stop it, Casey.
An obese jail inmate has allegedly smuggled a pistol into his Houston prison by hiding it in the folds of his skin. According to police spokesman Vic DeSantis, the prisoner evaded detection even after three searches, once during the arrest, next at the city jail, and finally at the county jail. The 25-year-old man, George Vera, had been arrested for selling illegal copies of CDs and has now had possessing a firearm in a correctional facility added to the list of charges against him. Vera was discovered when he told a guard at the county jail about the gun during a shower break, the Houston Chronicle reported. So, guys, would it be fair to say that this casts new light on the idea of concealed weapons?
Oh, well, I never thought that you could... Wow, that's quite a few rolls.
The thing, Tim...
quite deep.
Tim!
Just saying.
The thing, look, the
they
thing...
They would have to be, wouldn't they?
The thing for me is this... There's a question you have to ask, which is it going to motivate copycat crimes? If it is there going to be a spate of this sort of thing? And if so... Do we have to give liposuction to all overweight prisoners who go into prison? Because otherwise there will be guns. We can't have guns in our prisons.
The prison system can't afford that.
How about making sure they don't smuggle
taxes.
Guns in?
Yeah, surely it cannot be that difficult to have some sort of search mechanism whereby you,
lift the fat.
It wouldn't be pleasant work.
I wasn't going to say it.
It wouldn't be pleasant work, but if we incentivize it, if we pay them a lot.
Insensitive story for the week, number one.
There are a few more to come, I think.
Oh, great.
An employee at an Oregon gas station got the surprise of her life when she discovered that a mouse living in an ATM had built itself a nest with chewed up $20 bills. According to the employee, the mouse-like named Millie Taylor, the mouse had thoroughly torn up two bills and damaged another 14 in the process of lining his nest. When she discovered the mouse, Miss Taylor claims she screamed and slammed the machine's door shut. The bank has replaced the money that wasn't heavily damaged, and the ATM has continued to function as normal. As a result, it's reported the mouse has not been held accountable for its crimes. While it's been evicted from its makeshift squat inside the ATM, it's been set free outside the station. The mouse has committed criminal damage, guys. Am I the only one outraged about this?
It's not. I don't think it's necessarily criminal damage. I'm worried about the inflationary pressures of animals destroying currency.
Tim, no, there is some sort of crime to answer. Isn't it an offence to sort of, like, damage coinage?
Defacing animals, currency.
The animal invasion prolonging the global financial crisis.
I wish you guys would stop perpetuating this ridiculous...
Seriously, these animals, they are going to get us. It's one step at a time. They're sort of damaging... You know, economic success is key to prosperity and satisfaction.
As the listeners almost certainly won't know, I actually have the house to myself at the moment, and I was just sitting on my computer yesterday when I was disturbed by the cat.
Mateo.
No, I'm just telling a bit of a story on air. That's fine.
Mateo's just going to tell a mouse story.
Yeah, and the cat's kind of meowing outside my door because she's found the mouse, but what she's done, because she's not a very good hunter, she's actually let the mouse get to kind of a crevice where she can't get to it, and so less than three times in the evening, she wants me to move a piece of furniture so she can get to this little mouse of hers, which she just continues to kind of toy with. I wake up this morning. No. He's not gonna. I'm gonna finish. I wake up this morning, and the mouse is dead. The mouse is dead. The cat's gotten it.
Casey. Yeah.
I just love how you make the word three into two syllables.
And Mateo, can I also say you don't say to people? For the listeners who don't know, I'm alone in the house right now. That's practically an invitation to say, you know, like saying, come rob me, guys.
That means there's no one there right now.
Has Macaulay Culkin taught you nothing?
Well, he's taught me how to build some bitchin' traps.
Having spent several centuries praying for a glacier to stop growing, Swiss villagers are now seeking an audience with Pope Benedict to obtain his blessing for prayers against global warming, which is now thought to be causing it to recede. In 1678, the inhabitants of the villages of Fiesch and Fieschertal made a vow to pray against the growth of the Alech Glacier, which had caused a lake to flood into their homes. From 1862, they even started holding an annual procession to prevent the growth. The villagers have now changed their tune, however, as climate change has caused the glacier to shrink by 12% over the past decade. A spokesman for the villagers explained, "The residents hope that this will happen in September or October and are optimistic that the Holy Father will decide in their favour, as he has repeatedly spoken out about climate change. Why don't these shitheads just make up their mind?"
That wasn't necessary.
Just being obscene towards the Swiss. I mean, sure, they're difficult to please. One century, they want the glacier... They want less of it, now they want more of it.
I think they just want it to stay sort of where it is.
Yeah, I mean, 12% is a huge change, really. I would be pretty upset.
Really small glacier. How much too big was it?
No, glaciers don't come in really small. They only come in really big. I think it wouldn't be a problem.
The first rule of glacier.
It wouldn't be a... See, you're making light of me, but it wouldn't be a problem if the glacier was small. There'd be no problems. It wouldn't be a story.
It's the process of making it small, because then it melts.
I think there would be a problem if it was small, actually, Mateo. Because I think it's used for some sort of...
Because 12% of not very big is not very big. It's not much of a number.
According to MSNBC and an advertisement on YouTube, Snuggie's expanding its product line by adding a version for dogs.
Your dog needs to go out, but it's a cold, chilly night. A pet sweater could help, but they pull and they're tight. And putting them on can be a battle of wills. So how do you keep your dog warm when they're feeling a chill? Now there's Snuggie Dog, the little blanket with sleeves designed to fit your dog. Just like the Snuggie you love, Snuggie Dog is made of ultra-soft fleece to keep your pet totally warm when out in the chilly air. So they can enjoy a walk or have some fun playing in the yard.
It was really upsetting that we couldn't put the entire minute and 50 ad in the show today, but go and check it out.
Yeah.
Available in blue or pink, the company's marketing director, Anne Flynn, says, many Snuggie customers are also dog owners, and we didn't want the owners feeling bad about the jealous glances from their pets any longer. Now, apparently, millions of the original Snuggies have been sold, and both lines are apparently to be picked up by Walmart, PetSmart, Petco, CVS, Walgreens, Coles, and Bed Bath & Beyond. Is this the beginning of the end?
I think for those listeners out there who don't really know what the Snuggie is, I think it's described in the promotional material as
the blanket with sleeves.
A blanket with sleeves. It is essentially a gown, but it's like a dressing gown, but you put it on back to front. So there's a hole at the back and you can just put your hands through. Anyway, it's appalling.
Can I just address the statement by the marketing director who was talking about the jealous looks that owners are getting from their dogs once they're wearing their Snuggies out? I can tell you, they're not jealous looks. Those dogs are looking at their owners and
saying,
what the fuck are you wearing? Exactly.
Glad I'm not in a cult.
And can I just address her statement that I haven't just forgotten what it was, have I?
Well, look,
I remembered. That it's sometimes a battle of wills to put a sweater on your dog. That's because it's animal cruelty. You're not meant giving dogs sweaters.
Mateo, let's not be harsh here. Look, I think it's one of the main problems with the Snuggie for dogs is that it's not very stylish. You get a Burberry sweater that you can get for a dog. only about $400 Australian if you pick it up cheap in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And they will be ultra stylish.
On sale.
On sale, yeah.
No, okay, I'm persuaded.
A Nigerian man allegedly convicted of assault in Spain has been acquitted after it was discovered he was the only black man used in an identity parade, which was key evidence in his conviction, Reuters reports. The man was reportedly facing 10 years in prison after being convicted of assaults on women in 2005 and 2008. News agency EFE cited Spain's Supreme Court as saying, a badly assembled identity parade with a lack of resemblance between the suspects in the parade can lead to mistaken identity and consequently an error of justice. So who wants to start the batting on this story?
What? Sorry, hold on. What they put?
They put one black man, a whole bunch of white men in a line.
That is appalling.
And it wasn't the black man.
That is appalling.
No, yeah. Well, not necessarily.
He was acquitted.
If he wasn't picked from the lineup, I have to say it's almost certainly not him. And that's kind of why this is the problem.
No, he was picked from the lineup. Because there was only one, one black man, and they, in their assault, they remembered the person being black.
It's heavily biasing. Because, of course, it could be any black man.
And the other important thing that Casey stressed is that it was key evidence. It was like one of the key elements of his conviction. So it's just ridiculous.
His race, yeah. Well, the Spanish are known for their sensitivity like that.
Moving to lighter stories, an 86-year-old woman has been arrested for the 61st time after being caught stealing items totaling a value of $250, including 5 packs of salmon, 11 packs of AA batteries, 2 containers of L'Oreal anti-wrinkle cream, 8 jars of Olay face cream, and 4 containers of instant coffee from a retail outlet. The Chicago woman, two-syllable named Ella Orko, was arrested on Monday after someone in the store saw her hide the items in her clothes. Ms. Orko, who police described as a career shoplifter, has been charged with felony shoplifting and set bail of $10,000, and if convicted, this case will be her 14th conviction for shoplifting. She has a total of 60 convictions before this incident, the first in 1956 for petty larceny, and is also alleged to have possessed at least 20 aliases. 61 convictions isn't a bad effort, but am I alone in thinking that if she's to be called a serial shoplifter, she ought to be doing it a little bit more, maybe once a year at least? Otherwise, it's not just a hobby?
Yeah, but...
Pastime?
I don't know, I think the point is that over that sort of time... And are you expected to be shoplifting your entire life?
If you're a career shoplifter, yes, you are.
Did you just say two-syllable name, Ella Orko?
Each name is two syllables.
Ah, okay, because together there's four.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Well, you have to say, on the one hand, you'd think after 60 attempts, you'd be getting a little bit better. But I guess maybe she just can't run away as quickly as she used to. She's, what, 83?
86.
She's not really spry anymore, so maybe... Oh,
she could very well be spry.
Or she maybe still has the wits, but I just don't think she can run away as fast as she maybe could have.
According to New Zealand Southland Times, a woman was forced to hide in a hotel bathroom after an intoxicated naked Australian wandered into her room and fell asleep on her bed. The 29-year-old man, who claims to have been escorted to the hotel by a woman and wandered out of her room and into the first woman's during the night, was taken home in a dressing gown the next morning after being woken by hotel staff. According to Police Sergeant Steve Watt, the man was a bit surprised that there were two people in his room and he was butt naked. According to Mr. Watt, the man was not charged because it was far too funny. Is Mr. Watt treating indecent exposure too lightly, guys?
I don't know. That's pretty funny.
Look, yeah, and I think the laughter from Tim and Matteo in the studio in particular demonstrates that it is pretty funny. Whether or not it's funny is another question.
No, really. I'd say a couple of things about the story. A, are we surprised it's an Australian doing this? And B, I like just how confident he was. He said he was escorted to the hotel by a woman, so he thought he was owed a woman.
He was picked up by a woman who took her to the hotel room, and then he decided, I don't want to sleep in this bed all night. I'll get up and wander
to
the next room.
He was
just really drunk. It wasn't.
I think probably he didn't know what room it was
absolutely
in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He just thought he was deserving of a woman. He had made the effort to get the woman
to get
that
drunk
far.
And get naked.
Yeah, and he thought, damn it, I want my woman.
Oh, dear.
Cuba's economic crisis has contributed to a severe shortage of toilet paper, with Reuters reporting that sufficient supplies may not be obtained until the end of the year. An official with state-owned conglomerate Climex boringly explained that the corporation has taken all the steps so that at the end of the year there will be an important importation of toilet paper. While some Cubans have bemoaned the dearth of the toilet paper, state-run stores have cut prices on goods such as mayonnaise, barbecue sauce and canned squid, often between 5 and 27%. Guys, what the hell are they whinging about? Last time that Radio Adelaide ran out of toilet paper, Tim, you suggested we just use our left hands. As long as you don't touch anything afterwards, you're fine.
That is completely... That is libelous. Completely false. Libelous.
You're going to sue us for defamation?
Defamatory.
Look,
this is a conspiracy. This is a conspiracy.
No, look. Tim, I was there. I heard it. Matteo was there too. Overlord Susan Mee was
overlady.
There. And I think she overlady. That's right. And I think she got a recording of it on her phone.
Christopher.
Unfortunately, she's now dropped her phone in the toilet, so that evidence is gone.
Yeah, no, we'll never know. We'll never know. But
I am deeply offended.
Tim, look, I don't think you should be. I think this is a really sensible suggestion. Ooh. You know, like needs must, Tim.
Hold on. Well, how has this happened? Cuba is running out of toilet paper, instead of talking about how hilarious that is, you guys are just perpetrating these ridiculous lies against me.
I think it's self-evident how hilarious the Cuban thing is.
I'm on Tim's side here, and I'd say maybe if it's in discussion,
would
in a little while.
Would you suggest the right hand instead?
I would suggest no hands. Listen to what I'm going to suggest. This is a Cuban problem, and I suggest all they have to do is go north of the border and just find themselves some American flags.
Boom.
Flag desecration is a big deal. It's a controversial issue.
Let's not make light of it.
Why do you say big deal?
Well, it's a controversial issue. It's something that's interesting. It's good to talk about. It pivots into discussions about nationalism and freedom of speech. It's the kind of thing.
Let's chat about it then.
It's the kind of thing educated citizens of all countries should talk about.
But Tim, don't think calling it a big deal is a bit excessive when you compare it to, you know, genocide, murder.
Well, let's not talk about abstract things. That those things are important doesn't preclude this from being important.
Anyway.
Okay, fine.
We're going to talk about the flag desecration specifically with reference to how it's dealt with in the United States and in Australia. And I'll just give a brief rundown about the current situation.
Brief, please.
I'm all ears.
Australia currently... Actually, in Australia and the United States, desecrating the flag is not in and of itself an offence. In Australia, there are certain ways in which you cannot do it. You can't do it as part of disorderly conduct. Demonstrating outside of consulates and embassies is one of those things that's usually people will get charged with disorderly conduct. You can't steal somebody's flag and damage it.
Well, that's just theft.
That's just theft and destruction of property. But other than that, there are, as best I know, no laws prohibiting it, and I would, you know, call us on 8303 5000 if I'm wrong. But I understand It's the kind of thing that may be protected by a High Court decision, Australian Capital Television versus the Commonwealth, which essentially sets up quite a limited right to freedom of political speech from the Australian Constitution, if there's anybody out there who knows more in detail whether that could be applied to flag desecration, give us a call. Mm. In the United States, damaging the United States flag is protected by the First Amendment because it's deemed to be symbolic speech. So it's something that can't be limited.
Yeah.
I think we should have a talk about this, and I'm going to come straight out and say it. I think flag desecration is the kind of thing that should be banned. It's precisely a situation where, I mean, I reject the premise of free speech anyway, but this is a this is a situation where it is speech that is either very juvenile and pretentious let me finish my thought. It's either juvenile and pretentious in its political
political motivations,
It is designed solely to offend or upset or cause outrage, or it is both of those things together. And it's precisely for those reasons. I don't think the state should allow speech that has no other purpose than to upset people.
No, see, look, I disagree radically with that. I think certainly there are circumstances in which it's juvenile and pretentious. That, you know, I don't deny that. But I think there are also circumstances in which it makes, or it can make, a reasonable and legitimate political point. So I think in a circumstance...
But isn't it in and of itself nothing but provocation? Because it's preying on precisely what... Excuse me. On what people interpret by the flag. Some people think it's a piece of cloth, others think it's much more symbolic than that. And so I would say it's because of that act that makes it provocative.
But is that necessary? Does that make it illegitimate? Is provocation, even if it is, I'm not saying that I do accept that it is necessarily...
The point of protest is to provoke.
Tim, look, okay, say there's a case where, say you're living in an authoritarian country, for instance. Oh. Tim, I'm just saying, just say you're living in an authoritarian country and people are being taken from the streets. Just saying that circumstance, you burn the flag to say, no, I reject what this country stands for, what it's become.
No, but the point is that people don't burn the flag as solely an act of rejection.
Some people, I think that could happen. I think it probably has happened. And is it wrong?
Well, I don't know. That's rather a bizarre extreme hypothetical, and it's not one that we're really dealing with here. I mean, I think in cases like Australia and the United States, which is the two cases, I pick those as the two cases.
I don't think we're arguing that the way it's always used is wrong. It should be banned. We're arguing whether there aren't circumstances we can see where it might be legitimate.
But not in this country, Christopher. And the point is
not in this country.
And picking up on points about protest. Well, no, not in this country. I mean, you set up a hypothetical where there's a totalitarian or a regime where it's the course of the government. But even in that situation, Tim, if I might pick up on that point, even in that situation where a protest is demonstrating profound unhappiness with the state of the country or the state of its government, you are absolutely free and should be free in a society. It's the way the state works best to protest against these things. But the burning of the flag is done solely because it causes outrage and it gets political attention. It is almost always perpetrated by the left in order to antagonise the right because they know there are people in the right who find it very, very deeply offensive.
Mm-hmm. And so?
No, but why should a state allow speech that is performed for no other reason than to provoke?
I am offended whenever Tony Abbott speaks. Why do we allow Tony Abbott to talk?
No, look, Tim, can I pose you a question? You say
I'm not offended when we burn the flag.
It's not really analogous, though.
Can I ask Tim a question? Tim, I don't necessarily disagree that a lot of the time it is used to cause offence. Why does that mean it should be banned? Why shouldn't we have the right to do it anyway? I have the right to say something that's offensive as long as it doesn't defame someone or damage their reputation. You're saying I shouldn't, what we're getting to the question of is, should people have the freedom to say it? And I don't see, or to do it, I have not heard a convincing reason why people shouldn't be allowed to do it. Well, whether or not it's good is not relevant in my opinion.
Because it's the best way, I think it's the best way of running a state. Some principle.
Well, what tangible harm does it do? If I might
finish without being trampled over, the way a state needs to be run
is that freedom of speech has to be allowed in some political context. You need to be able to have dialogue within a society. You need to be able to have dialogue within a society to an extent. However, I think it's a bizarre... Firstly, freedom of speech is not unlimited. And there are plenty of situations where it has to be limited, even in countries that have constitutional protections like the United States. And you can, sure. You should, no society should allow speech that is performed for no other reason
you don't
than
think
provocation
be,
and causing
outrage.
You
don't think outrage. It might be a rejection of nationalism? Well, you're saying no other reason. Look, I think you can identify other reasons. You don't think it can be used...
There are plenty of other reasons to reject nationalism.
You can put up a sign saying I reject nationalism. Tim, no, but I'm saying it can be used as something more than something, you know, a tool simply to cause offence. It can be used as a rejection of nationalism, which flags come to represent. You're saying it's used for no other reason than that. I don't see how... Sure, freedom is limited, you know, in democratic society. I don't think it can be any other way. But I struggle to see how what you're saying makes case to argue that this specifically should be banned. And that's the thing. I think if there's not a good reason to ban something, you shouldn't do it.
Well,
simply because
I reject that premise, and I think that's right. It is. I do reject the premise that it is necessary to have a reason.
Tim, even if you accepted Tim,
however,
if you accepted the premise,
even
why
if
would
I
be wrong?
Even if I accepted the premise, I still think there's reason because the far out. We're running out of time, which is unfortunate.
I don't understand how you reject that premise.
Sorry, what? It's an argument by assertion. This sort of liberal principle that you know the state needs a reason to ban something. It's an argument by assertion.
Hang on. So you're saying the state doesn't need a reason to ban something?
No, I'm saying that is the guiding principle for all public policy and legislation is it's a premise that's you know typically a sort of a liberal one, and I don't accept it. I don't think that's the way a state should run. I don't see any moral imperative for it to be, and I also don't think it leads to the best results. There are plenty of situations where the state can ban things
without reason.
Well, perhaps not without reason.
Tim,
but there should be reason behind legislation. But I'm saying that the benefit of the doubt should not always lie in not having legislation banning things. That's what I'm saying.
Especially when it's as fraught, as you can hear, as something like flag desecration. I mean, I'll just finish off maybe by saying that I'm not going to be convinced by any protesters who just burn the flag.
Who says they're just burning the flag? That's the thing. You're arguing
maybe they're burning the flag because they don't like the flag.
We need to wrap this up, I'm afraid.
I would like to say that I'm totally cool with people burning the flag, not totally cool because I'd rather they do it in a more environmentally responsible way.
Or maybe make it like burning leaves. You need a permit.
Maybe.
Just regulate.
But isn't that pretty much... You might as well be banning it if you're giving someone a permit because the government has the ability to decide who does it.
Exactly.
Which, again, it removes the element of protest. Now let's go to a fucking song.
Okay. Calm down. The argument rages on about flag burning, so I'm going to lighten the mood a little bit with this.
A game show.
I'd better win this week.
Everyone's glowering at each other.
I'm not glowering.
Today, we're playing a little game called Timpressions. Mateo, since you missed the show
last week, you haven't played
it in a while.
Yes.
Mateo, you're going to start.
Hooray.
Give me your best impression of Tim.
Liberals, I don't think free speech should extend that far. Food, sleep.
Not bad. Chris, would you like to give it a go?
Yeah, hold on, can you give me a count in? 3, 2, 1. Go 3, 2, 1.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Do I win disgusting points?
You don't win anything.
There's no criteria for disgusting. I have my criteria.
Does Tim get a go?
Tim, well, give me your best impression. Give me your best impression.
I should just win this by default.
Has to be
the height of your injustice. Casey's injustice here. If I were to not win this,
you understand if you refuse to give a Timpression.
No, I'm not refusing to give a Timpression.
No, Tim.
You definitely lose.
Okay. I'm going to count down 3. After then, you have to give a Timpression. Oh, no,
what?
Maybe Casey should do it. Casey?
3, 2, 1.
This is ridiculous.
Look, Tim, if you're not going to play along,
that was pretty good.
There's no point in us playing. No, I put a lot of work into creating this game.
I know what you're doing. You're
just talking in your normal voice. What are you doing? You've got to play along in this kind of thing.
All right. Those listeners out there who frequently call up to back me up here, I'm going to have to call you into
Tim,
action
frequently,
again.
Frequently, it happened once.
We've had callers complain about this.
One caller twice, this farcical segment. You haven't been playing a lot. You're not playing along with the game. How can I give you any points? I have been scoring you all in your impressions, and I'll start with Matteo. There were four criteria. Four criteria. Commitment, that was a mark out of 3. Script, mark out of 5. Voice, so your voice work, mark out of 5.
Voice,
Originality, 2. For commitment, I gave you 2 out of 3. You really put a fair bit of work in there.
That's fair.
A fair amount of time. Script, I gave you 3.
How is there originality score? For an impression of somebody.
For voice, I gave you 2. You weren't...
Didn't really try with that one.
And originally, I gave you a 1.
What?
1 out of 2. Chris, for commitment, I gave you 3. You really got into the character. For the script, 3.
He gets a 0 for the script. He just makes noises.
It is exactly what he would say.
He gets a 0 for the script.
No, but it's exactly what he'd do.
It's exactly what he'd do. But he didn't get the 5. He didn't get the full 5.
He gets a 0.
No, he gets a 3. I haven't actually added these up yet, so I don't know who the winner is. Voice, you got 4. I like the voice. You really put your effort in there.
Screw this.
Originality, though, 0. 0. That's the typical Tim joke.
Yeah, okay, fair
so
enough.
So no points for originality.
Look, I'll pay that.
Tim, you just got no points because you didn't even play along.
Right.
So, Matteo, I've got to add this up now. 5, 7, 8 points for Matteo out of 15. And Chris, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 points out of 15 for Chris. 0 points out of 15 for Tim, which makes Chris, again, the winner of...
Game show.
It's not hard for him to win when you two are bedfellows in this whole charade.
Hold on.
Don't you even start getting a chip on your shoulder about this. This is ridiculous. You got a point for originality. You got a point for originality for doing an impression. Okay?
What was that bullshit about 3 for originality?
Okay, we need.
What? I didn't get any points for originality.
Or whatever it was you got 3 1. For.
Let's go to this.
Let's go to a message to our target audience where we are
completely
out of time.
Slightly more than that.
We spent far too much time yelling at each other about flag burning.
I imagine it will continue.
It will continue after we go off air, trust us.
That and complaining about game show.
Freaking... this is
Tim, can I... No.
But of course, Casey's getting a kick out of this.
Also,
you couldn't argue about
just quickly,
last week,
just quickly, pick your special topics.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. You guys all need to pick a special topic for next week's game.
My special topic is the sum of 2 and 2.
Oh, that's clever.
Matteo.
My special topic is the Spanish Civil War.
My special topic is me.
All right, then.
Damn it, I feel like an idiot.
So I got the hard one. I've been Timothy.
Matteo, okay.
Bye. Don't confuse them, Matteo, by saying me. They'll think you, or that my special topic is you.
Someone pointed at you. We haven't done a good job of this, Chris.
I'm Chris.
I'm Casey, ending the Shemozovla show that has been the 11th, 12th of August edition of Left, Right and Centre.
And the 24th episode.